Welcome to Word Sexy Radio. This is Word Sexy Radio for Monday, August 1st, 2011. And I'm your host, Red Snapper. And we also have our special guest, DB Hint, who is a special ghost host on here as well. We got four literary giants that's going to be on the show this evening. So sit back and relax as we bring you Word Sexy Radio.
Back in love again.
Thank you. Welcome to We're Sexy Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we also have DV Hint, who is the co-host. How you doing, DV?
What do you do, Red?
Hey, and here we are again. This time we got a two-hour show this evening because we are making up time from last week. We had the president speak in, and we didn't want to disrespect him. So we definitely want to do our thing, and we got four guests this evening on the show. We're going to have Ms. Trice Hickman, Mr. T.J. Haynes, C.J. Domino, that's Ms. C.J. Domino, and Ms. Cotton, all tonight on the show. You ready for them, DV?
Man, after that week hiatus, I am renewed, refreshed, and reinvigorated. So I hope you got some questions for us tonight.
Want you to do it, man, because we definitely want to get you to do it. And like I said, we got 2 hours, so hopefully the guests can stay. I think two of the guests may have to leave a little early, so we may get them a little bit early. But what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to have all the guests that are here right now, if they would, go ahead and introduce themselves. We're going to start out with, see if we have them here. We're going to do a roll call. So, Ms. Trice Hickman, are you here?
I am here, Red. Snapper, how are you?
And how are you? I am so glad to hear your voice again this week. How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. A little travel worn. I just got back home from the National Book Club Conference, and I just got home like an hour ago.
Oh, really? Wow, man. And you dedicated your time to get on Word Sexy Radio. Wow.
Yeah, it's an honor and a privilege. Well, I'm honored.
All right.
Thank you.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine. But anyway. Okay, so we are glad to have you. And T.J. Haynes, are you here, my brother?
Yes, I am. Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing there? How you doing? How's everything going on your end?
Oh, it's wonderful. You know, now that the storm passed, I'm happy.
Okay, all right, all right. And now, this
woman
lady.
Here.
Okay, all right, well, is Miss C.J. Domino here? Okay, she's not in yet. We'll probably be getting her pretty soon. So how about Miss Cotton? Are you available? Okay, we've got a couple of guests that's going to be coming in probably a little later. But we're going to go ahead and get started because, like I said, we got 2 hours this evening. So anybody who wants to call in with any questions that we're going to be talking about their books, and we also have a special question that was polled week before last. And that question, while we're talking about your books, if you can kind of give yourself a chance to think about this, the question is that's going to be posed tonight is, why do men get male bashed by women? So we're going to be talking about that this evening. And anybody that wants to call in, the number is 347-215-8539. And this is Word Sexy Radio. We're on Folks Radio, and we talk about anything and say what the fuck we want to. So hopefully we're not trying to, going against anyone this evening or offending anyone. But this is explicit radio. So if you didn't know that, you know it now. All right, DV, go ahead, brother.
Man, I'm sitting there just enjoying the show, man. Real talk, I'm wondering how NBCC was because, you know, I had this past weekend, the weekend before last, you know, this past one, I had to eulogize, marry off one of my friends, but, you know, they kind of wanted the same.
We know about that, yeah.
You know, I kind of wanted to hear how NBCC was because, you know, it's one of the events that I always had planned on going to, but never get the chance to go to. So,
I was invited. Actually, she asked me to come, and I didn't get to make it. But go ahead, Ms. Hickman. Go ahead and bring us that enlightenment from the National Book Conference.
Well, the National Book Club Conference is absolutely my favorite conference to go to out of all, and I go to a lot of conferences every year, but it's one of the best conferences by far that I go to, and this year was just exceptional. I mean, every year is just really, really fun, and it's great to meet with book clubs and avid readers from across the country, and then, you know, be able to see your author friends and fellowship. So it's always a great, great time. But this year it was just phenomenal because Curtis Glenn, who is the founder, had registration laid out differently, which made it so smooth and easy. And, you know, when you start an event outright on the first night when you're registering, it only goes up from there. So we had just phenomenal speakers and guests. Tyrese, who, authored his first book, was there. Judge Glenda Hatchett, Roland Martin, tons and tons of, you know, seasoned authors as well as new, you know, upcoming authors, aspiring authors. It was just so much fun. I had a ball, and I just encourage all readers to go, number one, but particularly, like, is it DJ or CJ? DJ?
TJ.
TJ, I'm sorry. Like, TJ, I'll tell you, if I know you said you've always wanted to go. Next year it's going to be in South Africa, so that's going to limit, you know, quite a few people from going. But in 2013, we're going to have the event.
Is that what you say in South Africa? Oh, I'm going. I'm going because it's South Africa.
Yeah, if you're celebrating the 10-year anniversary of the National Book Club Conference by going back to the motherland, by going to, or, you know, the continent, but going to South Africa, and they are going to have, I think it's like a 10-day trip, I'm not sure, but it will be back in the States in 2013, and TJ, if you can go, I just recommend that you go because it's a great opportunity for readers, for authors to really connect with readers, and then there are a lot of industry professionals there as well, literary agents, editors, publishers, publicists. It's just such a great networking event. So if you can go at all, please.
Well, I can tell you one thing. I will definitely try to make 2013, but South Africa next year, not
okay. What I'm going to do right now, and it definitely is.
You know,
what I'm going to do is.
Go ahead, man. I ain't mean to cut
you. Yeah, I'm sorry. No, you're good. You're good. Now, what I want to do right now is give everybody a chance to kind of introduce themselves to the audience, who they are, and we'll start with Trice, of course, and just go down the line. I think I want to make sure that the other two authors are here before we do that, though. So is Miss CJ Domino, are you here? Okay, she's not here. How about Miss Cotton, are you here? Okay, well, we'll go ahead and let you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves so everybody know who's here. And from that point, then we'll go ahead and let you talk about your books because we want to get into the question. But like I said, we got 2 hours, so the last hour we can do that question. But the first hour, I want to kind of get you guys a chance to go ahead and talk about your books, you know, how people can get your books and what you got coming up. So Trice, go ahead and start that, and then TJ, we'll get you. And then by then, hopefully the other two authors will be here. If not, then we'll just go for it.
Okay, well, I am Trey Hickman, and I'm the author of 3 books. My books were originally self-published and did quite well, and I was approached by Kensington last year, and they were interested in acquiring the publishing rights and re-releasing my books for broader distribution. So I signed a deal with them, a 3-book deal, and they have they're re-releasing my 3 originally self-published novels, starting with my debut novel, Unexpected Interruptions. And
wow.
It was re-released. Yeah, it's been a real blessing. It was re-released in April of this year, and it received a starred review from Publishers Weekly, which I was just, you know, absolutely thrilled about. And I've been getting great feedback from readers. My second novel, which is a sequel to Unexpected Interruptions, is called Keeping Secrets and Telling Lies. And that book is going to be re-released in March of 2012. And my third book, Playing the Hand You're Dealt, is going to be re-released in October of 2012. Right now, I'm working on my 4th book. Actually, I'm working on 3 books at one time, and doing a chapteramonth.com where you can, there are about 20 of us, 20 authors who are writing our stories, a chapter a month as they unfold, and readers can give us comments and feedback as we write our stories, so I'm working on that too, and you know, I will have a blog talk show coming up in September that I'm co-hosting with Brian W. Smith called On the Air with Trice and Brian. So we're very excited about that. So, you know, right now there's quite a bit going on, and I'm still, you know, going out to events, meeting with book clubs, and just trying to stay out there.
Okay. Sounds like you are very busy.
Trying to be, yeah. Red. I'm trying.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's the way you got to do it if you're going to be in this thing. You just got to keep yourself going so that, like you said, so people can see who you are and you can get out there and people know who you are, because the brand is you. It's not the books. So a lot of people don't understand that try to get
you
in the game.
It looked like you was looking for Primerica, but I didn't want to just assume, you know. I'm sorry.
You know, I'm starting to hear feedback from folks now. Hold on. Is this Miss Cotton?
Oh, yes. I'm so sorry.
You are online. Yeah. Right. Okay. In a few minutes, we're gonna get to you in a few seconds, but Trice was talking here, and we're gonna let her finish up. But basically, what she was saying, I agree, and what I was trying to comment on was the fact that people need to know the author, and the importance of knowing the author is, you know, your attitude and the things that you do and how you act will play a major part in how you sell your books. And the reason why I'm saying that is because Trice, you have such a great personality. You're so beautiful, and you have such a loving personality that how can you not sell books? But you got some people that are out there. I'm serious. You got some authors that are out there. They think they've arrived, and their mind is fucked up. I mean, you're supposed to have a little bit of arrogance about yourself because what you're doing. But what I'm saying is sometimes people just take this to the extreme. And we always talk about this on the show because I think it's very important that people understand that the way you are is the way people are going to perceive you, and they won't buy your books if you treat them like crap. But we're going to get into that a little later. I just wanted to say that while I was thinking. And I think DVU has something to say on that.
Right. Like, real quick, when you said that all of your books are being re-released, kind of take us through the process very briefly about what you have to do during the re-release process so that people who, you know, are self-published, who get their, you know, who are honored enough, well, not necessarily honored, but get the benefit of signing with a major publisher, what that entails. And it's, you know, kind of like, do you need to re-edit or, you know, kind of restructure your characters, or how does that go?
Sure. That's a very, very good question, because it was, you know, being self-published and then going to a traditional publisher, it's quite a different way of operating where, you know, you have all the control and autonomy as a self-published author, and then you relinquish some of that when you sign a contract. But for me, I have a great editor that I work with, and we work, you know, very closely together. So the process for my first book was that we were on such a tight deadline and turnaround that it happened very quickly. None of my book covers have been changed. They've stayed the same. And all of the content within the stories have stayed the same. The only thing that has changed is maybe if there was a glitch in grammar here and there, or a missed typo someplace, or a comma that needed to be where it wasn't. Those were the kinds of things that were adjusted in the reprint. But other than that, they're the same stories that are going out. But I will say, for the second book, Keeping Secrets and Telling Lies, upon its re-release, I have tweaked that book just a little bit. And the storyline is still the same, but there are two elements in the story that I brought to the forefront a little sooner in the story than I did in the original version. But other than that, it's still the same. So the process for re-releasing it is that typically they want your book to be off the market, out of distribution channels, for at least 6 months before the re-release. So what I have to do with each book that was originally self-published is 6 months prior to, 6 to 8 months actually prior to its re-release, I have to pull it from all the distribution chains, from Amazon, from my distributors, Baker & Taylor, so that it's no longer in the pipeline, and then really start promoting it again and wait for the new re-release. And I'll say this, just because you're with a traditional publisher doesn't mean you can stop promoting. You have to still promote, because they don't have a lot of dollars budgeted for marketing and promotion. So it's really up to the authors to hustle. I mean, it's such a grind. But it is a blessing.
I like the way
that
you say that. I like the way she said that. I mean, she's been saying what we've been saying forever, but she just said it. It's such a grind. And, you know, I just love the way she talks, man, because she's so proper. But, you know, I love it. But what you're saying is correct. And I didn't mean to cut you off. But we've been preaching that on this show ever since this show has been in existence in a couple of years that, you know, just because you were a mainstream or a publishing company or something that they're going to do all these things for you, they don't do nothing. You got to still get out there and market yourself. And that's what we've been trying to preach to everyone. Let them know that when you get in this game, whether you're publishing yourself or you're getting out there with somebody, you know, they're not going to do nothing for you unless you do something that's going to bring them some money and, like, get a movie deal like Harry Potter and, like, 7 movies or something. Then they might think about doing something then. Might.
That's right.
That doesn't mean they're going to do it. So,
yeah,
you know, you just got to do it.
Right.
Yeah. So I didn't mean to cut you off. And I'm sorry when I cussed earlier. I cuss sometimes, Trey. So please forgive me.
Okay.
I don't want to offend
you. Know
but,
what?
You know,
it's
I just,
your
I
show.
Do. Well, you know, I do that shit. But I'm sorry. But anyway. So go ahead and finish because we're going to get DV. I know you had another question because I know you always have those great questions. So go ahead, brother.
No, like she pretty much got the gist of it, but you know we haven't really heard from TJ. So you know,
well, we're going to get him in a minute. We're going to give him a chance to introduce himself and to tell us about his experience and what he's doing with his book as well. So go ahead, TJ.
All right. Well, I'm TJ Haynes. I'm out of Connecticut, and I too was originally self-published, and I was self-published through J.L. King's company.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. we'll talk about that one, won't we? Okay. All right.
Put it this way: I'm gonna keep it 100% real with everybody. That experience was terrible. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was completely green when I first started, you know, in the whole publishing world. You know,
right.
I believed every grandiose thing that he had to say. You know, I knew one thing, you know, was undeniable, that my book was a good book. But I didn't know that, you know, you really had to go out and self-promote. You know, I assumed that, you know, he would take care of it because that's what he said he would do. And I noticed, you know, every little detail about the self-publishing world, you know, I had to, like, really be on top of things, from the cover to editing myself. Now, by profession, I'm an English teacher. So, you know, at least I can say that the book was well-edited at first. You know, but there was just a lot of hassle with the whole self-publishing thing, and it was hard work. And I didn't know that it was going to be that hard. When I finally got my book released last year, I learned all the lessons where, you know, your money won't come unless you're actually going out to make it yourself. And you really can't depend on anybody else to help you with that.
Okay.
So what I did was I started shopping my book around to different people, you know, because I felt like I needed a broader audience.
Right.
And luck would have it, whereas the CEO of Fee Inc. read my book, and I was offered a contract. You know, and I tell you, you know, God bless him for good.
Okay, I know people know who Fee Inc. is and everything, but let's kind of like give them, you know, just let them know who the author, who is this person that actually did that for you, and just so they can get a familiarization of Fee Inc.
Fee Inc. is out of Houston, Texas. And it's an independent publisher company. And the CEO, T.L. James, who is also an author.
That's why I wanted to say that. Okay.
She's also an author, and she has wonderful books, by the way.
Yeah, The Empire.
T-H-E-I-N-K.
Shameless plug.
And she also has Jean Holloway under her label as well, for those of you that don't know. She is an author there, and I am going to be publishing a book through that company as well. I wanted to get that experience over there just so I can, you know, see some other things as well. And I have a paranormal book that I'm going to be doing through Fee Inc. as well, so that's why I wanted him to kind of mention that. But so what else did you want to say about that? Cause...
Well, the experiences between, you know, working with Fee Inc. versus the self-publishing experience that I had with J.L. King are like night and day.
Right.
I was unfortunately not, well, I should say fortunately, I wasn't able to keep the original cover because he wanted to be paid for it. So,
well, that's usually what companies do. Like, if you go through an Arthur House or something like that, even though you may have designed the cover, they have the rights to that cover. A lot of people don't know that. I mean, the only thing that they don't have the rights of is the actual manuscript itself. So you can take your manuscript back, and you can republish it, but you got to get a whole new ISBN and all that, and you have to do another cover. So they do that, and that's correct. You're right. Okay.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, so he wanted to be paid for it. So, you know, between TL and myself, we said, you know what? We're going to come up with something that's even better. And the new product is absolutely amazing. Absolutely.
And what's the name of your book?
The name of the book is Broken Gems.
Okay. Now, what we're going to do at this time, now that you both kind of did, I don't know, is Cotton, are you still here, Miss Cotton? I don't know if she's here now. Anyway, okay, what we're going to do right now is, because after that you guys have already kind of introduced your books, we want to kind of give you some time to kind of talk about a little bit about your books, the content, because I know there's some people out there that maybe want to know, you know, what genres you're writing in and stuff like that. So, Trice, can you kind of explain a little bit the genre that you're in and kind of give a little bit about the book without giving it away, of course, what the book is about. and
sure.
Then we'll give, yeah, because, you know, you got your books coming, and we definitely want to get people to buy them, and we'll give you time to tell them where they can get them and all that during the show. But before we do that, if anybody has any questions, we are definitely taking calls. And I know there's somebody out there that has a question. She told me already I'm going to get her on. But the number is 347-215-8539, and this is Word Sexy Radio. And we're going to let Trice go ahead and explain her book. And I know it's phenomenal. I don't know why I don't have one, Trice, but anyway, we need to let you talk about this book, because you know I want one, right? Signed by
okay,
you,
well,
right?
Well,
know
I'm,
that, right?
I'm going to correct that situation this week.
Yes, I hope so, and I'm going to make sure you get my address. Okay. All right. Go ahead, baby. All right.
Well, it's interesting when you ask which genre, because I've been nominated for literary awards in the genre or category of romance, although I don't consider my books typically romance, because romance, you know, follows a certain formula. My books are mainly mainstream contemporary fiction,
uh-huh.
And some would put them as multicultural fiction because of the fact that I write about characters, not just black characters, but white, Hispanic, you know, multicultural cast of characters in my books, in all of my books. And I
so you know what I'm going to ask you now, right? I'm breaking in, I'm sorry. You know I got to ask how much sex is in your book. Because this is Word Sex Radio, so you ain't got to go and explicitly explain, but I know it's got to be some heated situation.
Yes, you do.
Don't let
Maria lie to you. You better got to explicitly explain. We want details, nasty, dirty, gritty details.
We do want some shit, but I mean, I'm going to let you start it off slow and kind of tell us a little bit about it, because you're going to tell us, you know, what it is, and then we'll go from there, right?
I will. Okay.
She knew she was going to get what she came on here. Go ahead. She knew she was going to get this, so don't act like you didn't know. All right.
Now I'm just laughing. Okay.
That's okay.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about, I told you about the genre, and now I'll tell you a little bit about my book, or at least Unexpected Interruptions. Unexpected Interruptions is a story about a young African-American woman who becomes involved with two men. And the complication beyond just having a love triangle is that one man is black and the other man is white.
Uh-oh.
And as her
you say
man,
one man was black and one was white? You know I had to bring that in there somewhere. Okay, go ahead.
And as her relationship builds with both men, a secret from her past comes out, and she finds herself doing things she never thought she'd do as a result of her relationship with these men. But the book addresses a lot of different issues, not just race and interracial dating, but issues like skin color bias in the black community and class stratification and family dysfunction and, you know, male-female, platonic male-female relationships. And as this one woman tries to journey to find her own truth. So there's a lot of conflict within the book with all of these characters. And I think it makes for a great read and really interesting conversation for book club.
Okay. Well, let me see. I see a lot of numbers on my switchboard here, and I'm going to see if some of these people have questions. And since I was tagged on my personal phone with this number, the 678 number, I'm going to let her go ahead and ask her a question. That means she really wants to get on here. So go ahead, Lisa. I know you got something to say, so go ahead and say it. You there, Lisa? 678? See, now she was trying to get on, and now she ain't trying to talk. Okay, well, let's try somebody else here. Let's try 843. Do you have a question? Area code 843. What's your name?
No,
where are you calling?
No, I don't have a question. I'm just here to support Trice.
Okay, well, what's your name anyway?
Yolanda.
Yolanda,
oh,
how you doing?
Yolanda.
Hey, Trice.
See, you say you didn't want to talk. There you go, but you're doing all right. That's good. Yolanda, where are you calling from?
Carolina.
Something Carolina. Which one?
South.
You got cut off. South Carolina? Okay. I know you didn't have a question. I'm going to let you go. You sound like you don't want to speak, so I'm going to.
Yolanda is wonderful, Red. She is such a great supporter of authors. She is just, you know, she's every writer's dream in that. And she's an avid reader. She's a supporter of so many authors, and she does so many things. And Yolanda has just started her own literary consulting services, and she does, you know, promotion design. She does marketing and so many other things. So she's phenomenal. And I just
so
love
Yolanda,
her.
Why is she scared to talk?
That's what I'm saying.
That worries
me. I mean, this is Word Sexy Radio. You can say whatever you want, and we might want to have you on the show so you can talk about these things. So what do you think about that? Yolanda?
I can't even laugh right now.
Okay, what's your last name, Yolanda?
But I don't like speaking.
Yolanda. Yolanda, what's your last name?
Gore.
Huh?
Gore.
Okay,
G-O.
I know you. You're one of my friends on Facebook, so why are you playing games with Red Snapper? You know you're welcome to come on the show. When you want to come on, we'll talk about it. Inbox me and we'll talk about it. We'll get you on the show, and we'll talk about your business and everything you got. See? It's
right.
Days.
You know you're special. You know you're
okay.
Special when you start talking about yourself in third person, Red. Like,
that's right. That's right.
Games with Red Snapper.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
that's
oh
what
God.
I'm saying. There you go. There you go. All right. Okay, well, we thank you for calling in. We're going to try to get one more in real quick. Let's try... let's see if we can get this 404 number here. 404, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello. I think that's me. I'm
that
just
you?
Listening, supporting the author, TJ Hayes, and Trice. My name is Motima.
Hey. Okay, Motima, how
hi,
you doing?
Hi, Motima.
Hi. How are you?
I am doing well, and thank you so much. I just got her book, what was it, like a month or so ago?
Yes.
Yay.
What's the name of your book? Hello.
Oh, my phone is freaking out. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm still here. And hi, Yolanda.
I can bring her back, but she's let me bring her back since you want to say hi to her. Okay, you can speak now, Yolanda.
Hey, Matina.
Hi, TJ.
Hey,
see, now we're having
hey,
a reunion. Now we're doing a reunion on here now. We're having a reunion now. Okay. But that's good, though. See,
Word Sexy reunion tour. Coming to a city near you,
we don't mind helping people. That's what we do on this show. If you have something that's going on, I mean, only thing I can do is have you, the only requirements to be on my show, if you're an author, you have to have a published work because we can't talk about something that you don't have out. Other than that, I mean, there's really no prerequisites to be on here. I mean, if you're doing other things, all you got to do is just let me know, inbox me. You know, let me know what's going on, and we'll get you on. That's not a problem. I help people because that's what I do. I'm an author myself, and I know how hard it is to get your stuff out there. So let's do this. So if you guys want something, just inbox me or inbox Deviant, you know, Deviant, and, you know, let's see what we can do to get you on the show, okay?
Okay, I will. Thank you very much for that opportunity.
You're welcome. And Yolanda, I'm looking for you too, so don't be playing games with a brother, all right?
All right, I'm going to inbox you.
Okay. All right, okay. All right, so now, Trice, did you have anything else you wanted to say? I'm sorry, we kind of cut you off. Was there anything else you wanted to say about your book or anything that as far as that goes?
Just to encourage readers to go out and buy it.
Okay. And we're going to tell them where they can go get it and all that. And we're going to tell them where to go get it and everything. So, you know, you can. We definitely got time, and we got like an hour and 23 minutes to go on the show, so we got plenty of time to do that.
Great.
So now, T.J. Haynes, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about your book. I mean, you didn't go into the book, but tell us, what is the book, what's the subject matter, what's the genre, and what are you talking about?
Well, I think the book is technically considered suspense. But, you know, for me, I don't really care what you call it, so long as you go out and buy it. But,
okay. I got you.
The title of the book, again, is Broken Gems, and that refers to the four women that I chronicle in the book.
Okay.
There's a mother and daughter who, the mother, she's physically, you know, emotionally just damaged. She's abused by her husband, and she has, like, zero self-worth. And you have the daughter who's forced to try to be this perfect child, this straight-A student. But, you know, witnessing abuse and having an overbearing father, you know you're not going to be perfect. So you
right.
know a little bit about her. The third woman in the book, whose name is Elise, her mother is murdered. And mind you, I'm using quotes for the word murdered. And she can't seem to get past her anger. So she's hell-bent on revenge. And she don't care who gets hurt in the process.
Okay.
And the very last character, her name is Sapphire. This is a ethnic girl, we'll just say that, with blue eyes. So men are typically really drawn to her. And she had a traumatic childhood, but grew up to use men for money, for sex, and she didn't care about the families that she destroyed in her past. So all of the women in the book, their lives intertwine in various ways. And we really get to see how broken these women are.
Right.
So, you know, there's great sex in the book. You know, we all like sex. That's a good thing.
Right.
There's murder. There's suspense. There's
I'm a virgin.
Oh, please.
Oh, Stevie Hint, the author of Valentine, a damn virgin? Come on. All right. Okay, let's keep going.
So, you know, we really get to know these women. And a lot of the readers who have read the book so far, they draw an emotional connection to different women in the book. And it kind of talks about the question that we're going to answer in the second hour, you know, why are women bashed? But there is one particular murder in the book that you won't know who actually did it until the very end of the book. So it brings you on a mystery, and it is a lot of suspense, and, you know, it's a great story. It has a really good message to it.
Okay. Well, we definitely want to get a copy of your book, too, because I know I should have already had yours. I mean, I don't know why I don't have it, but, you know.
Wait, national release date is the 20th, you know?
But you got some. I know you do. I know
you
got some.
I will make sure you get a copy, but, you know, to make sure
you know your
weekly plug, you know.
There you go, brother. We'll make sure of that. You know, that's not a problem because, you know, I like
Absolutely.
I said, I like to help people with their works. You know, I mean, I know how it is to get out there. And for those of you that are trying to get into the literary game and learn to be in this game, first of all, you got to know it's not a get-rich-quick game. So if that's what you're looking for, then you need to look for another product because it's not going to be like that.
I'm not quitting my day job.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So my thing is you know, you got to get out there just like the music industry. This is so much parallel like the music industry or any other, and, you know, even a lot of the drugs. I'm not a drug dealer, but I've talked to a lot of authors who have used that as a product before, and they changed to books. And it's the same way. You have to use that same hustle to sell your stuff. And just like Trice was saying earlier, you got to get out there and let people know that you exist. And to get your book. And the way you do that is you got to have a loving attitude like she has. Don't go out there and be cussing people out, and just because they ask you questions and you may not feel like you want to answer them at that time, there's a way to talk to people and tell them that, you know, right now is not a time to talk about it while I'm signing books, but if you'd like, you can email me or something so that person won't feel like you're an asshole, because this is how you sell books. And if you do all that, guess what? You will not sell books. So I'm just trying to help you out in that. Okay, so I don't know. I think DV drops. He's probably going to have to come back in. But anyway, let me get Lisa. Let me see if she's still there because she had a question. Lisa, 678, area code, are you still there?
I'm here.
Lisa, how you doing? Tell everybody who you are so everybody know that you're that phenomenal person that supports a lot of people as well and your question.
Okay, good evening. My name is Brenda Star Moon, and I'm the author of Bird of Faith. I am self-published, and I went through Author House. I do have a publicist, and I do go out there and hustle, get my book out there. I also, I'm on the Facebook and everything. But my question is, what other vehicle can I use to get my book out there? It's a children inspiration book, but I always tell people, don't let the illustration deceive you for a very great message out there. I know this is a sexy talk show, but I'm an author.
Not a problem. And I'm gonna answer it, and I'm gonna let the panel answer if we're gonna let them be called a panel, and which way they will be in another 15 to 20 minutes. But my thing would be, if it was me, if I was doing children's books, my audience would be libraries and going to schools. I would go to schools and talk to people in the schools and let them know, you know, what you have, because that's where you're going to be selling your book and the reason why they need your book there. Okay?
Okay,
now,
I'm sorry, okay, but
go ahead.
I do go to libraries.
No,
I do go to libraries, do my read. I do have book signings in the area. I also, when in the grocery store, I tell people that will.
You're starting to break up, baby. Are you still there? Okay. She may have dropped. But just to keep the question going, I think that if you're an author that's doing children's books and stuff, you know, you got to go where your audience is, just like in any genre that you're writing in. Am I right, Trice? That you need to go
Absolutely.
Go where your audience is and sell yourself. I mean, if it's books for children, then you need to go where children are going to be, and you got to let people understand. To me, I think writing a children's book is harder than writing an erotic novel. Reason why I say that is because you got to write something, you got to have something there. Even though it's small words, it's got to be something that makes sense, and it's got to get that kid interested. You got to get that kid's mind to want to read those words that you have there and the story that you're trying to tell them, the moral of the story. To me, I think it's harder to do that than me writing about somebody having sex with somebody. Okay, go ahead.
And one of the things that I would make the suggestion on doing is actually researching the different publishers that kind of specialize in children's books. Because, you know, there's always room for a new face, you know,
right,
in writing. And you never know. A lot of their websites will have, you know, an area where you can, you know, do submissions. You know, usually
right.
They might ask for the first three chapters, but if you already have a book done, that might, you know, spare them some of the work. So you never
right.
know. That would be one of my suggestions for that.
Okay. Now, are you still there? I think I got her back on the line.
Hello?
Are you there? Yes.
Can you hear me? This is Brent Stumble.
Yeah,
we
can hear you.
Okay, thank you. And Ms. Trice, thank you for accepting friendship and everything on Facebook. And how can you change? You have the ISBN number, and I know the ISBN number belongs to that particular company. For me, I have Author House, and I've done some research where I could have my own ISBN number. I basically want to be a self-published author because I want my own voice to be heard. But I know when you go to the traditional publishers, they tend to want you to cut down your words and you lose your voice. Please elaborate
on Brenda. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish. I'm sorry.
I'm finished. I'm finished.
Oh, okay. Well, first, and thank you for reaching out to me on Facebook. And in regards to the email that I sent you last week, I'll be following up on that tomorrow. But to answer your question, actually, the first part, I wanted to comment about the first part of your question and answer the second part of your question. When you were asking initially about how do you get exposure and promotion for, or promote your book. And I think when we think in terms of promotion, you always want to think of exposure. And like Red was saying and TJ was saying, you know, you go to where your audience is. But also you can connect with, I think you have a niche market with children's books, and you have a lot of different avenues that you can go to in terms of the organizations that you promote. So in addition to, like, libraries and public schools, contact some of your local sororities. Sororities, you know, all these women have children. And,
that's right.
You know, they right, and they're always looking for books for their children. You know, these
all they like sex, too. That's why I go to them for the erotica. So they like sex, too, so I'm going to tell you.
Right.
And I'm an alpha, so, you know, I take my alpha cell phone in there and let them
that's
know what's
right.
going on, you know what I'm
saying? That's
well,
right.
I know the adults
these
really
are,
well.
But these are you know, educated women who read and want their children to read. And so I think when they have events or local chapters, make yourself aware to make them aware of you. And I'm sure you'll get support there. Also, youth ministries at churches, that's another avenue that you can explore where you can, you know, reach out and introduce your book to parents, because they're going to be the ones who are buying these books, not children, actually. So
right.
So I think that those are some avenues that you might want to explore in terms of just your broad reach of promoting it. And then marketing it is a totally different, you know, entity altogether, and doing your market segmentation and kind of figuring out how you want to do that. But going back to your other question about a publisher and losing your voice, I think it really does depend upon your publisher and your editor. So, for instance, with my books, my stories have remained the same. They haven't changed the storyline. They haven't changed anything about my stories. Not even the covers have changed. They're still keeping the cover, the same cover image. Which was original because I used my sister on my first two covers and a friend of mine, and had a professional photographer to do a photo shoot and that kind of thing. So, you know, I think it depends upon the publisher and the editor that you're working with and the content of your work. So I don't think that every single publishing house will take away your voice, because if it's a strong voice, if it's a great story, that's what they're looking for, so they're not going to change it.
So, Trice, let me ask you. Now, when you did that, did they require you to get a new, because the book is being republished, was it required that you get a new ISBN because of being a revision, or was you able to use the same ISBN because when you self-published? I mean, because, you know, I think that's what was part of what she was asking. Because I know with the Arthur House deal, like,
okay,
if she takes her book somewhere else, she has to get a whole new ISBN.
Yeah,
so,
you do. And I'm not familiar with Arthur House or Alibris and
I call them synthetic. I did a couple of books through them. They're synthetic publishers. And what I mean by that is you pay them so much money and they'll publish your book.
Right.
Basically.
And
so,
and
you know,
with the true traditional publisher, you don't pay them to publish your book. They pay you to publish your book. They will pay you in advance, and you will get paid to let them publish your book. If you're going with a publisher, you should never have to pay them to let them publish your book. So that's one distinction there. But you're right, Red. You do have to have different ISBN numbers, because the ISBN number is basically the Social Security number of your book. So if
right.
you
And there's also
are,
a different one for electronic books as well. So
yeah.
Okay.
Say that again. I'm sorry. I missed that. Hello?
I said there's a different ISBN for electronic books as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of e-books are they're kind of getting away from that now, where you don't even have to do that. Like if you do like Kindle and stuff, like if you publish your book straight up through Amazon Kindle or something like that, you know, they don't want you to have an ISBN because I mean it's just, you know, it's not required. And I think that's pretty good if you're going to go that way because, you know, a lot, as you know, borders is closed up. You know, they're going down like flies every day. So a lot of this stuff is changing. And that's a good subject we can bring on here. We talked about that before, Trice, when you came to Kansas City and we had did that thing with Tanisha, the book conference we did here. We kind of talked about that, e-books versus the main, you know, the books now that we still have, that some people still want to have printed copies in their hand, but a lot of people are using these Kindles and there's Nooks and they're getting all these things. And, you know, the game is changing. And with technology, you're starting to get to a point where you don't even need a mainstream publisher anymore because anybody can get out here basically and did that. But the hardest part, as we've been saying the whole night, is you got to market yourself because these companies never did that anyway. So the main thing is you know, if you publish through independence, I call it independent publishing, and that sounds better. Indie publishing sounds better than self-published. Or if you're going to go through a mainstream publishing company, either way, you're still going to have to do all the things that you have to do. It's just who does it. If you're doing it with them, they do some things more than everybody else, and they may have a better like with Lightning Source or something, or you know, through Ingram or something like that to get your book out. But really, it's still up to you to get that book out there where people know who you are. I don't know, I said a lot there, but that's the main thing. Because, you know, I mean, I have Midwest Publishing Group, which is my own publishing company that I do, but I still want to go and get that experience of publishing through another company just so I can say I did it before. I mean, not necessarily that I want to stay with them, because I like self-publishing. I like creating my own covers. I like having the book as long as I want, because a lot of times when you write for these companies, you they may cut your book down because it might be too long, you know, depending on the budget. You know, you may have to re-edit it and fix it to make it shorter. They're going to pick the cover. They're going to do all this stuff. So to me, and I'm not downing them, don't take this wrong. To me, it's like they're pimping you because, like she said, they will give you money in advance, and then they're going to do what the hell they want with your book, basically, if you don't have nothing else to say. You know, they might. It depends on the company. Not all companies are like that. Some will give you some you know, let you have some feedback. Like Zane's company, you know, you can kind of have some feedback and cover and stuff like that. But it just depends. So, you know, those are things you got to know. And go ahead, Trice. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think you're right. It depends upon the company because it depends really upon your editor as well that you're working
right.
with. And mm-hmm. that your relationship with your editor if you're with a traditional publisher, that's one of the most valuable relationships you're going to have within the whole publishing house because they are the advocate for you and your work. So if your
right.
editor gets you, because there are a lot of authors who, you know, have great working relationships with their editors, and you hear that they're happy for, you know, if they're unhappy, you know, that relationship with that editor is really, you know, crucial because they're your advocate inside the house. But I do think, of course, you know, you don't have the ultimate final say because the publisher has that say because they are the ones who have acquired the rights. They have given you money to purchase the rights, and they're doing, you know, all the costs for all of the editing, the design, the printing, what have you, promotion, advertising. So they have the final say. However, if you have an editor that you really work with in the corporate culture within your particular house, publishing house, is, you know, at least a congenial one, you can at least compromise and negotiate and work from there.
I love how she just breaks it down. Boy.
You're making
look,
me blush.
I'm the kind of guy. Look, I'm an educated guy, so I like what gets me off is when a woman can talk intellectual. I'd rather you say stuff like that than all this other mess. But anyway, we'll get back to the interview here. my thing is this. You know, what she said is absolutely correct. You know, all that what she said is right. But a lot of times, you also got to remember, too, when you're with these mainstream companies or any company that pulls you in, that's giving you some royalties, you got to remember that if your book is not doing nothing, then you're going to get dropped. It's just like being in the music game. If you don't sell enough units, then guess what? Your book, your units you don't get another release of another album. It's the same thing with the book companies. You just got to remember that. So that's why you, as the author, have to get out there and go to these book clubs, make friends with these book clubs, because that's who's going to sell your book, really. They're the ones who's going to do reviews and everything, and you just got to get with these people. And if you can get your book out earlier before the book comes out, which I think helps a lot of people, is to get it out to these people, to get these reviews out so that you can have it on there. So when a book is released, there's all these reviews for people to look, because a lot of people look at those reviews and they make a decision whether they're going to read your book or not, you know, by doing that. So.
And if you don't mind, Red, I want to piggyback off of something really, really important and powerful that you said in the very beginning of the show, and that is that you were saying that you've got to promote yourself. You're your product. And and just like you just said, how you present yourself in public, that's just as much, you know, you are your product. You sell that book. The book doesn't
sell,
you know, by itself.
And I was going to say, Trice, the last time you saw me, I'm like half that person now. So I'm just saying, you know,
you look great.
And what I mean by that is I've lost almost 100 pounds.
I invite you. You look great, yeah.
Yes, thank you very much. I like that coming from you. But, yes, I definitely have lost almost a whole person, and I feel great, so... that's good. I know we got off the subject, but anyway. But yes, if you're still there, that's all the things that you really need to know in this game as you go forth that can take you forward in this literary game. Because, and I'm surprised DV hasn't popped in. Is he still on here? You know about that, because I mean these are the things you got to know and just realize that everybody's not gonna like your work. You know, at first I used to be, you know, somebody don't like something, but you know everybody's not gonna like it. So that's why you got to get out there and make them like it. But you got to let them know where you're at so they can read it to see if they like it or not. So that's the thing. So, all right. So, TJ, are you still there? Did you have to leave?
I'm here.
Okay, I know you were saying you had to go. So was there anything else you want to say? You still have to go or are you good?
No, I'm going to be in probably for part of the second hour. So.
Okay, good. Now, I was hoping that... Miss Cotton would be here, and I don't know, she must have, because she was on earlier and something happened, and I don't know. But before we go forward, the Arthur that was on here asking the questions, do you have any other questions before we go forward? Oh, wait a minute, I'm trying to get you back. Do you have any other questions before we go forward? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. This makes me feel good, but I know there was one thing that has said about the let the publishers pay you. Well, sometimes that's what I asked one publisher, but they want you to have a literary agent. I don't have an agent.
Yeah, a lot of companies do require. I'm glad you said that, because a lot of the mainstream companies won't even talk to you or won't even take your manuscript unless you have an agent, because they want to negotiate with the agent. That is correct. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that is just part of that. And a lot of people that is out there and trying to go in that route, then you must know that you need to have an agent that's going to represent you. And they're the ones that negotiate all that for you. So, you know, if that's what you want to do, then I say go for it. You know, either way is good, as long as you get your work out there. Even if you go through an Arthur House or something like that, you know, there's nothing wrong with going in those avenues. Nobody's saying that stuff's negative. You know, it's just what you think you have to do at the time to get your work out there. Because, you know, you can start just like Trice did. She started out as an independent publisher, and her work was so good, and she got out there and put it out there well, that people recognized her, and guess what? Now she has a deal.
Right.
That's how it works.
Okay.
So that's what you got to do. Okay. DB said his phone is muted. Let me get him squared away.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. You are very welcome. And we're going
to
talk
with you. Thanks for calling, Brenda.
Okay, let me see if I can get DB back squared away here. DB, are you there?
Hello?
Okay, because he's... Are you there, DV?
Of course I'm here, man. Still just listening, because you ain't cut on my mic, man. We're going to fight.
Look, man, Mike,
that is
your mic's
be
been
a
on,
DV
man.
Look, and Red Supper Brawl.
Look, man, don't do that, because your mic has been on the whole damn time.
Man,
I've
been talking, and ain't nobody
look,
heard me. I'm like, oh, man, I'm sick. Sick.
Let me cuss you out afterwards, okay? All right, now, this is the second hour right now, so... What I want to do right now, Trice and TJ, I want y'all to go ahead and kind of do a plug real quick on how people can get your books and everything, and then we're going to get into this question. And DV, I know you want to get in on this one. The question is, why do men get male bashed by women? So we're going to talk about that. But first, I want you to go ahead and kind of tell people if they want to, how they want to get your books, where they can get them from, starting with you, Trice.
Okay, well, my books are available online and in retail stores wherever books are sold. So you can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Orders before they close.
Books A Million. Right. Right, before they close.
Right.
Books A Million, and they're also available in Target and Walmart. So, you know, just go out and get the book.
And if you're in the military,
and
you can probably get them in the PX, too.
You can. You can get them in the,
yeah,
in the PX,
yeah,
or the Exchange. And
yep,
I encourage readers and listeners to go to my website, which is TriceHickman.com, and join my mailing list. There's a tab where you can join my mailing list so I can send you out information about my upcoming projects, my book tour, as well as I do book giveaways and book recommendations of other authors, you know, books that I want to recommend and share with readers. So, and I want to thank everyone for supporting me.
Okay, and you'll be able to do that again before the show is over. So we'll, if those that didn't get it, we'll get that out again. So TJ, go ahead, bro.
All right. My book actually will be released nationwide on the 20th of this month. So you can find the book at your local Barnes & Noble store, Barnes & Noble's online. You can go to Amazon. You can go to my website, which is authortjhaines.com. Or you can also order it via the publisher's website. And that's theink.com. That's P-H-E-I-N-K.com.
All right. Okay. So are y'all ready now? Are we ready to talk?
Well,
trash?
I'm ready, but Can I say one thing before we begin, Red?
Yes, say what you must.
Okay. I wanted to apologize to DV because in the beginning I kept referring to TJ instead of DV for the question that he asked, and I just realized that, so I wanted to apologize.
You can apologize if you want to, but guess what?
Are you
he didn't care because he was hot anyway. He didn't care. He was all happy.
Don't be one of those black people that think we all sound alike. Don't be that person.
No.
I just got confused.
I just got confused, and so I apologize for that.
Did I mess you up? It must have been me that did that. No, I'm just playing. But anyway,
no,
we understand. And he don't care anyway. He was just happy that you know. But anyway, this is what we're going to do right now. We're going to get into this question because I know a lot of people want to know this, and I kind of want to know because I don't know why this happens. I guess it's from, you know, different pastors or if it's – and then we can go vice versa on it. But the question, of course, is why do men get male bashed by women? So how do we want to start this, DV?
I think we need – since it's three guys already, I think we're going to need to go ahead and let the woman go first and then bash everything she says.
Okay, well, you know something? I hate for her to be the only woman because I was hoping Miss Cotton was going to be on here, and I was hoping that others are going to be here now. Who is 770? Is this a listener or is this 770 area code?
What's up, Red? It's Lisa.
Oh, Lisa, I finally got you. Okay, now I'm going to let you stay on. You know why? You know why, Lisa? Okay, first of all, tell everybody who you are, and then we'll go from there.
Hey, T's. This is Lisa Perry from Word on the Street. I'm the one that promotes over 2,200 authors, 10 rappers, got a publishing company that I just started, got a literary catalog coming in that I'm creating to go into the prisons and the military bases. Let's see, I got 5 radio talk shows. I co-host 4 more. I co-produce 1 live down here in Atlanta. I was actually at the Harlem Book Fair with my authors. I finally got to put faces and with the names and the books that I've been promoting for over 2 years. And then I was in Atlanta at the Hyatt Regency for the MBBC. I was there.
Okay.
I got to see a lot of the authors, and I finally, like, they were, like, surprised I showed up there because I got in Tuesday from 2 months up north. And came back down here and got straight on my grind with my authors. So That's who I would be.
Okay, so now who's playing with the bells back there now? Come on, now. All right.
That's somebody's house phone.
That's somebody's house phone. It's probably Lisa. Okay.
No, I'm on my house phone, fool.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and get into the question. So since it's just one lady, I was hoping we were going to have more women, but Trice, I'm sorry, sweetheart. I'm going to tell you that right now, okay? Are you there? Trice, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, baby, sweetheart, don't take this personal, but you're about to get slammed. Okay, now, why do men get male bash? Okay, first of all, since you're the lady, we're going to let you go first. And we're going to ask you, from your experiences of other people, and I'm sure you don't do this because you're too sweet to do this. Then again, I don't know. What's your sign?
Aquarius.
Okay, now you're too sweet to do this. Anyway, why do men get male bash? What is your opinion on that about women? What do you think that reason is? Is it because the way they were brought up, or because the man wasn't there, or they saw something when they were growing up? Or what do you think the reason that women do this to men?
Okay. Well, I think, and first of all, you're right, I don't male bash. I don't.
Uh-huh.
I think that it depends upon the individual woman, because I don't think that you can paint a broad brushstroke and say that, you know, all women, of course, you know, don't know. But
okay,
I do. But there are sisters out here who are angry, who have resentment, and who do bash men because of negative experiences they've had, or things that they have seen growing up. And I think that it's sometimes a learned behavior as well, because if you grow up in a household without a male figure, a strong male role model, and let's just, you know, look at the reality that most households, African-American households, are headed by black women.
Uh-huh.
You know,
well, you
and
know
so
I,
if you are...
Uh-huh.
So if you are a young girl growing up in a household with no male role model, or if the males that you see aren't in a positive light, you know, you're going to have one view. And then if you hear, let's just say, your mother, you know, your daddy ain't this, he ain't that, you're going to grow up with that bias already. So when you meet a man, you're going to have that protective armor on, and you're going to be throwing those darts and those, you know, swords or weapons,
right,
or whatever. And so it really sets you up to not have a good relationship, or meet a good man, or even recognize a good man when you see one. So I think it depends a large part on, you know, the experience that the woman has had.
Hey, man, the way she did that, I don't think y'all can bash her, man.
No,
I don't think she was too nice on that one. That was just too sweet. That was very, very sweet. I can't even think about bashing you on that one. Okay, DV, go ahead, bro. I know you got a rebuttal.
Yeah, just to, you know, we're actually kind of springboard off of what Trice said. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, like she said. Kind of like when you're in that household where, and I'm going to say shit because, you know, I say shit. But anytime you say, you know, that man ain't shit, your daddy ain't shit, your uncle ain't shit, you know, you live this and you hear it all the time on a consistent basis, that it becomes second nature. So that when some man inevitably fails you, and, you know, let's face it, we're all imperfect. We're all going to make mistakes. Kind of like when that man inevitably makes that mistake, he's that man that ain't shit. You know, so it comes to, you know, it comes to fruition because everybody's telling you that men are going to mess you up, men are going to mess you up, men are going to mess you up. And then you say, oh, no, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And then when he messes up, then all of a sudden all men are no good. All men follow that philosophy. So, I mean, it's no different than us. It's no different than us and women because, you know, we on a consistent basis, we hear what? That good girls do certain things, bad girls do others. So when we get a girl who does the nasty and the things that we like and the things that we enjoy, we kind of push her off to the side. She can't be our number one. Why? Because she do all the nasty things that people said the nasty girls do. You know, so
right.
It's kind of that mentality that's been fed to us, been spoon-fed to us on a consistent basis. And, you know, at some point, you're going to believe it.
Wow.
Because it's going to happen.
Go ahead, DJ.
No, I was just thinking that, you know, there's also a different side to this whole, you know, dichotomy between, you know, I'm going to either bash a man or I'm not. What I found in my experience is that the women who have the most amount of self-esteem with them, who won't settle for shit, are not really the ones that are out bashing men. Typically, I've always found out that the women who bash men the most are the ones who lay down and accept the bullshit, and that's their way of venting and complaining about things.
Wow.
You're exactly right.
Okay. So how does this get fixed? I mean, because is this something that normally just happens within the African-American community, or is this male bashing thing a universal type thing? Well, we know in the United States is what we're going to talk about. We're not going to get into other cultures. But
so,
as far as
universal.
The United States goes.
Well, Red,
well,
I mean, I can come at you all on a totally different level and play two controversies.
Okay, so we got two women. That's good. Go ahead, Lisa.
I don't bash men because there are so many good men out.
I know you got something
out
to say, so go ahead.
You already know. There are so many
That's
good
right.
men out there that pay their child support. And if even if they're not on a child support order, they pay what they got to do. Their kids got money. They give it to the baby mama, and the baby mama get their nails done, and they walking around with Gucci and all this, and hair done, and the kids looking like Raggedy Ann and Andy. This is why I get mad at women. This is why I don't. I swear to God, my brothers is like, you should have been a man to begin with. Because I get frustrated. I see all my homeboys and everything doing what they got to do. I see my ex-husband doing what he got to do. Like, I didn't have to go to court for child support. I never did. I never even asked for it. And then these women are like, they get with these men expecting their nails to get done, their bills to get paid. Oh, you going to pay my light bill this month? First of all, bitch, on everything, be independent and get that shit done yourself. Because it takes
okay.
two to lay down. It don't just take one man to lay down with you and make a baby, because you already know half of them are going to be on Maury and not be right. So I get real,
aggravated. I'm ready to be wide the fuck open now. I'm going to tell you right now. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, well, boy.
I want to piggyback off of something that TJ said, which I think is really important and a key in all of this, when he said that women will allow men to treat them a certain way. And I think that as women, we have to take responsibility in this whole situation in terms of, you know, when you say, oh, he's a sorry man. Because if we are the ones who are raising our children and our men, you know, in these single-parent households, then what does that say about how we have raised them? And in the African-American community, I can't speak for other communities, but I've seen time and time again where mothers, they will raise their daughters and coddle their sons.
Right.
And that, and as women, we, I don't know if it comes from low self-esteem, just that you want someone so badly or that you want to please someone, but we allow certain things that we shouldn't allow. And if you allow a man to do whatever he wants to do, he's going to do it. And we have this fallacy that, you know, monogamy is a natural thing, and it's not. Monogamy is not a natural state of being. It's a learned behavior. And so that goes into part of the equation as well. But I think as women, we have to take some responsibility in what we will allow and not allow to happen.
I know.
And that's
right.
How
well,
you can correct behavior.
Wow.
Right.
I want to go ahead.
Let me plug this number real quick before you respond to that. Well, if there's anybody out there that's listening that wants to call in, the number is 347-215-8539. It's Word Sexy Radio. And we're discussing right now, why do men get male bashed by women? And we're going to go and probably take it even further and see, you know, do men do the same thing to women? And I'm sure we're going to get some responses on that. So go ahead, brother. What you was going to say?
No, I was just going to say that a man can only be a dog so long as she allows him to be one. You know, there's two options in life. Either you can stay and deal with it, or you can either make him leave or you leave. You know what I mean? And it's a matter of what she brings to the table. You know, you can't blame anybody else for anybody else's actions. You only can take responsibility for what you do and what you accept. So,
okay.
You know, the whole male bashing thing, you know, we always hear it. We hear it all the time. But,
right.
You know, no one wants to turn the mirror and look at themselves and say, well, what am I doing to contribute to this? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's one of the fundamental things that need to be changed. You know, there's a lot of factors that go into play. However,
yeah,
you know,
I'm going to get into some of those factors. Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
One factor being, you know, now I'm a father of a 10-year-old little girl, and you know, I'm raising her to have that self-respect, that self-esteem about herself, to know that she's a gift. You know, so
right.
God willing, things keep going the way they are. You know, when that time comes, if somebody ever tries to, you know, make her feel less than who she is or make her feel like she has to accept something, she's going to know, no, I've been raised to know that I am indeed a gift, you know, and that's just it. It won't be negotiable.
Right.
So the fact that
I hear what you're saying, but that works in theory, because the truth of the matter is, no matter how you raise a kid, it's up to them to determine where they go and how they get there. So, I mean, me and my sister were raised the exact same way. The thing is, I set a high standard, and she sets a high standard. The problem is sometimes we're going to make those mistakes. We're going to allow somebody in our life that we think we can reform or reshape, and then it blows up in our face. So the thing is when it comes to, you know, when getting back to the original question of male bashing, essentially what it is this, it, you know, and kind of the springboard off of something, you know, Tri said, you know, we get, you know, women coddle boys no more than men coddle girls. Why? Because it's an inherent rebelliousness in black folks that we automatically assume that by not coddling this girl, by my mama not coddling me, I get to be tougher. You know, and that's what we try to do to make the girls tougher. We try not to coddle them. We try not to baby them. Then we tell them, okay, well, even though I didn't show you love, you know, I want you to still love people. And the same thing with the boys. You know, men don't coddle their sons. Why? In order to make them tougher. I'm not going to coddle you because the world is a hard place. In a perfect world, we can say, yeah, you know, I taught my kids to do this and I raised my kids right. But ultimately, we all make bad decisions. We're all going to continue making bad decisions.
Oh, and don't get me wrong. We all will make bad decisions. You know, we're all going to be human. However, there are certain fundamental principles that stay with you. And you can,
uh-huh.
All the things that you can do is hope that those principles, you know, follow you and inform some of your decisions. So,
but tell me that
know,
love, but tell me that love doesn't impair
happen.
Our judge. Tell me that love doesn't impair our judgment process. We can be
oh,
as logical as we
want. I mean, we've all played the fool once or twice in life. Maybe, hopefully, no more than that. But you know, we all played
the fool.
This
is great.
However, the one thing that will
the
not change is the fact that you love yourself before you love anybody else. Some
right.
girls are not taught that. They're taught to think, they judge their lives based on the man that they got in their life because no one's taught them otherwise. But if you teach a child to
it's
know their self-worth, that
there are certain
could hopefully mitigate some of those things.
There are learned behaviors. When you walk in, when you're in a neighborhood where the only person who gets any clout has money, then that's the behavior that you adopt. Because he has money or because she has money and they have clout, that's what I want to be. So, I mean, the reason why we don't see this as prevalent in other cultures is because it's more prevalent in ours. We worship drug dealers and sports athletes, but then the people that go to college we turn our backs on. So, I mean, let's be honest. If we're turning our backs on the most educated of us, then why should our children do any different?
Okay. Well, let me change the subject a little bit. And I want the ladies, if the ladies are still here, I think Trice is probably the only lady because I think Lisa dropped. But why is it that our women are just so hard on us? I mean, I'm not trying to make like we're the victim, but a lot of times you got these good men that DV was talking about, and both the men were talking about, these good men that are here and they're really trying to do what's right in a relationship. But then you got these women, they just, because of things that they've been in the past or whatever they've seen, they are just so hard on the man. The man comes home, he just wants to relax, you know, try to, you know, come in and do whatever. And then the woman, all she wants to do is nag all damn day about all these things that she's been through. Why do they do that? Why is that, Trice? Can you tell us?
Wow, I don't do it, so I don't know.
You know, you're just perfect wife. I bet I come home, you probably, shit, if you was my wife, I bet you probably, I come in the house and you got everything all ready to go and bath water and everything and stuff, and shit, who going to hate you? But what you see on the outside, not in your household, but somewhere else,
yeah,
can you give me your opinion?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I think, again, it goes back to, number one, the individual and how they're wired, what their personality is, because you just have some people who think no matter how they're socialized, conditioned, or raised, they're just going to have a funky attitude. So,
right.
You know, that's part of it. But I think also in the African-American community, there's this dysfunctional disconnect that we see now in male-female relationships, and it's learned behavior in what we see in single-parent households growing up. Not all single-parent households, but a lot,
right.
Because, you know, if a woman has been hurt by a man, scorned by a man, or, you know, neglected or whatever, sometimes that behavior is going to come out, and it's going to transfer to her daughter, because children take cues from their parents, you know,
right.
And children are very, very in tune to what's going on, and they look at nonverbal cues just as much as they look at the verbal cues that the women
yeah.
who are raising them give them.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Now, what I was going to say was I just hate that the fact that, you know, yeah, they are watching all this stuff and everything, but, you know, I know everybody's trying to be cautious and they don't want to get hurt, but a lot of times, you know, they just don't give the male a chance. You know, every
mm-hmm.
male is jacked up because of what they think. You know, I mean,
well,
if you already
you know,
think he's messed up, then why give him a chance in the first place if you already think he's gonna do the same shit the last guy did? I mean, it's just
mm-hmm.
really, really fucked up. And I'm saying
yeah.
it negative like that. I'm sorry, but I don't understand why we do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that other
mm-hmm.
races don't do it. I'm sure they do.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is, it's just our sisters are so rough, and I know they have to be
yeah.
because of the situations
well,
they've been in, but still, why?
You know what? And that's the thing, Red, and I think it's so it's really difficult because when you're in a relationship and if you intend to have a loving relationship, you have to be very raw and naked emotionally.
I like
and
this.
Lay,
raw and naked. I like this.
You know, and lay yourself open. Make
right.
yourself vulnerable. And making yourself vulnerable you know, it can be a scary thing because then you're opening up your heart and trusting. And just
exactly.
because you have, well, I won't say just because, but because you have been hurt in the past does not mean you're going to be hurt going forward. So if you
So when are you
going to
write
men,
that book? Because that book needs to be written because there's a lot of women out here that they will not listen to that. They
well,
will not listen to that.
The thing about it that sisters have to do, and I'll say brothers have to do this as well, but since we're talking about sisters in particular, so many sisters out here are saying, I want a good man, I want this, I want that. Well, if you want to, you know, have a husband, you need to start acting like a wife.
Oh, say that again. Say that again. Ladies, y'all listening out there, y'all need to hear what she just said. If you want a good man, what do you got to do?
You
want
if you
a husband,
want a husband,
what do you
got? You have to
gotta stop giving
like
up on
a wife.
State.
So if
there you
want
go.
Him to have all these qualities, and you have to bring some qualities to the table too. And I think men, we have this perception in our society, especially with, you know, young African-American women who are, you know, young professionals or trying to do something with in their lives. We feel like we have to have this hard shell, but I think there's nothing sexier to a man than a woman who is strong enough to be vulnerable and feminine.
Wow.
And kind.
Absolutely. Your husband has
I mean,
no problem
kindness,
with you.
Kindness is...
You and a Stepford wife, are you? I mean, you are just... My God.
What?
I said you're not a Stepford wife, are you? Because you
oh.
just. I mean, gosh, I love what you. I mean, you take. I bet you and your husband really have good conversation, good communication, because that's what you got to have anyway, as well. But
well, you know,
oh,
I'll
my.
Tell you, it's. I think it's because of how I was raised and what I saw my mother doing, and I'll preface that by saying this: I'm a Southern girl, so I grew up
okay.
in a very, you know, Southern kind of traditional household, and I grew
uh-huh.
up in a type of household where my mother, you know,
so you
my
get
mother
plate,
ran things, but my father was the head of the house.
All right, so you go get the plate for him and all this stuff and fix his dinner and all this stuff. Okay.
And so that's why I can speak very affirmatively in saying that a lot of times young girls get the cues from their mothers and how they treat men. And so
but
as
you know,
women, we have a responsibility. We have to be very careful, even though we've been, if we've been hurt by a man, we have to be very careful in the message that we're sending to our daughters. And we have to start instilling in them that just because this was my experience, it doesn't mean it has to be yours going forward.
I know that's right. And that's good. You know, but I think that a lot of women don't want to be submissive because they think that they're being when they have to be submissive, and submissive is supposed to be both ways, not just the woman doing everything and the man to sit back and you just do everything for him. It's not that way. It should be equally done on both sides if it's going to work. But, you know, they get this idea, oh, I got to go kiss, I got to do this and all that. And you know, they feel like he's going to step all over them because they're doing that. But, you know, if you're going to treat, well, I can only speak for me. If you're going to treat me right and do those things for me, then I'm going to want to do those things for you because I know that you're taking, you're sacrificing your time to do it for me. But you got a lot of people that, a lot of women that feel like, I ain't doing that. He fixes his own damn plate, you know, and all this stuff. And I'm not necessarily saying that I want my plate fixed, but I'm just saying when they have that kind of attitude, you know, how they expect to get treated right when they're acting that way, you know.
But see, you know,
I don't know.
You know what I've learned through the course of, you know, my few years on this planet is that when it comes to learning about the opposite sex, especially as kids and ages of adults, Black people are intellectually retarded. And I don't say that as a bad thing, but the thing is we don't talk about the opposite sex in our house, period.
Yep.
If my daughter has a boyfriend, I don't talk about it. You know, I'm going to just pretend, you know, I want to meet him, I want to threaten him, or, you know what I'm saying, something along that line. Or when it comes to girls, we don't tell them about women, we tell them about sex. So the thing is, we're not teaching each other about each other. We're teaching the things that we simply the things that we enjoy or that we detest about the opposite sex. So it's a basic trial and error type of process that we do when we're learning about people of the opposite sex. And the reason we can't be friends is because we're consistently being told that if we're not sexualized, if I don't see you as a sexual object, then, you know, then what's the point of a relationship? You know,
I have to agree with you on that because, you know, the thing that I see with the African-American community as far as the sex and all that goes, the reason why it's so taboo to us is because we make it that way. We've been told it was that way. The church, I get tired of the church telling you how to sleep with your mate, what you can do to your mate, all kinds of stuff. You know, it's just so many things that deter us to grow. That's why you see all these other countries. If you ever go to other countries and you see how open they are about sex, they have less rape and all that because of that. But the thing is we're so thinking, oh, we can't do that. And then they turn around, they want to get a red snapper book, you know, when nobody's looking or something like that, because they didn't want people to know their sexuality. They didn't want people to, they don't want to talk about that stuff, the things that they want to do, because they want to keep that thing to themselves and do it behind closed doors, which is fine. Nobody says you got to be all out in the open. But the thing is you got to be open enough to be able to understand that there's different things that you can do and it's okay to do it. That's the whole problem, I think, you know, and like I said, a lot of people, they like reading erotica or whatever, but they don't want nobody to know they're reading it because they think they're going to be judged if somebody sees them with that book or whatever the case. You know, that's the whole problem,
right.
You know, I see. And you know, like some people might not even want to come on my show because they know that we talk about sex. And we talk about everything right here, but sex is just some of it because it's called We're Sexy. They don't want to come on. They think, oh, well, you know, I don't know if I can do that. But a lot of people are strong and come on. I've had people that do Christian fiction on here. I mean, Tiffany's been on here. Tiffany Warren, she's been on here. It was a great show. It's not about judging nobody on sex and stuff because everybody has sex. God created sex. So I don't understand why people think that sex is so bad. I mean, how did you get here? You know what I'm saying? I mean, damn. You know, I mean, it's just crazy on that. But
what are you talking about? The stork didn't bring me?
Excuse me? No, you wasn't brought by a stork. No, you wasn't brought by a stork, buddy. No. But that's just it, you know. And I'm glad that, you know, we can kind of figure that out because, like I said, the male bashing thing, I don't know. I see a lot of that in some movies. You see a lot of it in some books sometimes. People male bash in books. You know, they just do that because people want to read it, I guess. But I don't know.
But you know
I
what?
That,
I, yeah, but you know, one thing that we didn't really discuss, because we talked about it, you know, from, you know, why do women do it? You know, we talked about home life and, you know, what women are willing to accept and their self-esteem will have you. But there is some truth
to some of the shit that they actually say, you know, if we're going to be completely honest about it.
I'm just throwing
this whole different side out there now. You know, some men don't know how to be real men. And I think
Is this TJ? Is this TJ?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. No, I was just asking because I was trying to make sure the voices, I'm getting confused. Go ahead.
I just want to make sure I was listening to.
Okay.
Yeah, just some men just don't know how to be real men, you know. And
right.
You can take a person, you know, a woman who has, you know, everything going for her, fuck her over, you know, and that could really skew her opinion of people, especially if she was deeply in love with the person. So, you know, she might be bashing. Well, maybe venting in her opinion, but another person might take what she's saying as bashing, even though it was founded in truth. So, you know, it really does go both ways. You know, I do think some men need to learn how to be men. I mean, if you want to be single and you know, screw everything that walks, that's fine. But don't do it and try to be committed to, because, you know, you're really opening the door for people, or I should say women, to, you know, jump on that bandwagon and really save the negative things about men and generalize.
I agree.
This is true.
This is true. I agree. Yeah. If you're gonna be a player, then just do it. Release that woman. Don't try to be with her and fuck everything that's out there.
And then
come home.
There's a lot of women that don't mind, you know, just the random hookup. You know, that don't mind not having the relationship. But, you know, some of these guys are getting with these women that actually want that, expect that. He tells her that, but then he's going out fucking everything that walks, you know, when her back.
Right.
But see, you know what? I'm going to be honest with y'all. I learned, you know, early back in the day when I was in college, that the truth is the biggest aphrodisiac. Because there was a lot of women that, because I'm a terrible liar, and I forget my lies. I just
Trice,
like, damn
Trice,
it all.
He's
I'm
bringing
just
it
go
out
ahead.
Now, Trice. This
yeah,
is it
I'm
right
go
here.
Ahead and tell the
this
truth.
Is it, Trice.
And,
here you go, Trice.
No, and that's the thing. Like, when I started telling the truth,
see,
women would just like,
you
know, but women would just be like, oh, my God, I can't believe you told me the truth. You know, here's some draws. You know, and that's kind of how, you know, things played out. You know what I'm saying? Because it was such an oddity. Women weren't used to men telling the truth. They were used to men trying to lie to get what they wanted. And kind of my indifference was the key. You know, they'd be like, how many women are you dating? I'm like, presently six. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm sleeping with all of them. And most importantly, the only person that, you know, whenever I'm with you, you're the only person that I'm talking to. It's not like I got to answer this page or, you know, I got to, you know, talk to somebody else. It is what it is. So, I mean, the thing is people don't realize how much the truth really, you know, frees, you know, people up to do what they want to do anyway. You know, like TJ said, you know, sometimes when you're telling the truth, you know, that woman, that's all she really wanted in the beginning, but nobody, everybody was afraid to say it. Everybody wanted touch, but not really open up and say that's what they wanted. You know, so that
well, you
works
know,
too.
I've been in situations, you know, I'm single, so I've been in a lot of situations, too, where sometimes when you tell them the damn truth, they don't want the truth because they want you to lie. Because they figure, damn, he's too damn truthful. I don't want this mug. He's too
I mean, you don't tell everything, you know, because
well,
what's
I'm
the
not
first
saying
question?
I tell, but you, if you tell enough of that shit, then they be like, nah, this ain't the one.
Yeah,
this
but women always do that.
They don't.
Here's what you do. You don't answer that question because women don't
right.
always want to know the answers to the questions that they ask. Sometimes they ask to see if you're going to tell them. You know, women
right.
ask me, like, how many women you been with? None. That's none of your business. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's what I stress because, you know what, if too much truth is a bad thing, you know, you
yeah,
tell women.
I have learned that. I have learned
you know,
that.
You,
I have definitely
you tell women
that.
Off rip that you done been with X amount of women. They're like, oh, you nasty. And they may be right, but, you know, still, you know, you can't always
yeah.
tell people everything about you.
Yeah, you can't. You can't tell everything. But, you know, what I get is people be trying to ask me, why am I a red snapper? Where did that
oh.
name come from? And when you tell them that and they start tripping, you know, some of them, then you got some that want to think they can test you. But Trice, just for you, my name is Leonard. My real name is Leonard Ledoux. Okay, I'm
like
so you know. I know you married and all that, but I just want to let you know my real name. A lot of people don't know my real name, so I just wanted to say that. But yeah, Red Snapper is the pseudonym, but you know, I do have a real name, so
how did you get the name Red Snapper?
Oh, no. You didn't ask that question.
Oh.
Do you really want me to answer that on online? I can't. Well, I acquired that name through experience in the sexual realm. I am a man that I like to pleasure women. I am a man that loves to, let's see, how can I put this? I like
oral
to make
fixation.
Sure that women are satisfied. I give them oral fixation, and I earned it because of me being the light-skinned brother that's out now because they don't like us light-skinned men anymore. But anyway, I go down on a woman and I give her the pleasures that she so desires in such a manner that I was given that name, Red Snapper.
Oh.
And I said it in a nice way because I would say normally, I get down and eat that pussy. But anyway, all right, that's it. That's how
Where's
I got the name.
So,
I'm not gonna do the sounder, I believe. But hopefully I didn't offend you with that. But that's the name.
No,
so
not at
it's
all.
It's not the fish. It's not the fish that everybody talks about. You know, that's a good fish. They do have a restaurant here in Kansas City called Red Snapper. But no, that's not me. I'm that guy that likes to get down there and do that thing. So
that's what I did. Flashbacks already.
I lick. I do all. I do that thing. So okay. So that's how I acquired that pseudonym.
Thank you for letting me know that.
You're welcome. So, all right. Now, we got about 23 minutes, so what we're going to do, I guess we beat that question down enough. What I'm going to do now is just give you guys a chance to kind of, you know, plug your books. And, DV, you can plug yours, too, because you're an author as well, and we want to sell our books. So we're going to go ahead and let you guys go ahead and kind of tell people what you got coming up, any book signings or anything you got going on. All that stuff so that we can, you know, kind of get that out and people can look for you. And they might want to request you and how they can do that to get you to come to their book clubs or whatever. So Trice, we'll get you started off, and then TJ, you. And then DV, if you want to do yours, man, you know, you can let everybody what's going on with you. And I might say a little bit what's going on with me as well. So.
Great. Well, again, I'm Trice Hickman, and my novel Unexpected Interruptions was just re-released by Kensington in April. And I've been meeting with lots of book clubs and going to events. My next couple of upcoming events, just right off the top of my head, I'm going to be meeting with a couple of book clubs this month and the beginning of next month. In September, I'll be a featured author at the Congressional Black Caucus in Washington,
nice.
D.C. My novel has been nominated for a literary award, the African American Literary Awards show in New York, so I'll be there in September. And I'll be attending a featured author at a book club literary event called Books, Champagne, and Chocolate, sponsored by Sugar and Spice Book Club in Brooklyn,
yeah,
New York.
Sexy as I don't know.
Yeah, and it's going to be a really great event. I'm trying to get my corporate the guy with chocolates is actually a corporate sponsor of mine, and so they're hopefully going to be donating some chocolates for the event, since it's, you know, chocolates and champagne and books.
I am there. I'm not invited.
Sure,
okay,
absolutely.
Well, just
go to the Sugar and Spice. Go to the sugarandspice.com website and check
right.
it out. And
right. I got to say this before you go any further.
Let's see.
Why are you
I'm
so
sorry?
Sexy? You are just so sexy. Why are you so sexy? I mean, I know you mad. I ain't trying to get what you don't. I just got to ask that question though. I wanted to ask you that when you was here in Kansas City.
Get
you
out of here,
just,
really?
Damn sexy. Yes. Yes.
Listen to you
talking. God dang. I mean, you just, I love the way you pronunciate your words and everything. Can you imagine? Now, I'm getting nasty now. I'm going to say this and I'm going to let y'all go on. If you was talking to me like that and you was sitting on me, or if I was on you, I'd be fucked up right now. I ain't lying. I ain't going to lie. That's why this word sexy radio. Okay, I'm sorry. Now, let's get back to the interview. All right. Let's get back to the interview. Now, was that all you had to say, Ms. Tricycle, or did you have something else that you wanted to say, or we'll let TJ or whatever? I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say one other thing that with the Blog Talk show that I'll be co-hosting in September, September 1 with Brian W. Smith and Red, we're going to have you on the show, absolutely.
Okay.
I'm very, very excited about that, and please visit my website for information.
Is Brian going to let me be wide open on the show? Because, you know, he's been on my show a couple of times. And I let Brian do what he wants. Y'all better let me talk shit on y'all show. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be explicit. But, okay.
Absolutely. It's Grown Folk Radio. It's Grown Folk Radio.
Okay.
So we're going to have, you know, just a super great time because we're going to, you know, interview a lot of authors, some people in the publishing industry as well, to learn more about the individual as well as their books, but just to get to know them personally, kind of like what you're doing with the show, Red, and what you talked about from the very beginning of the show is, you know, introducing yourself, promoting yourself above your
right.
book, and then your book
right.
itself. So those are some of the kinds of things we're doing. But so I'm really excited about all of those things that are coming up. And just go to my website and visit me at TriceHickman.com or follow me on Twitter at TriceHickman.com or Facebook/TriceHickman.com.
All right. Okay, TJ, man.
Well, that's going to be a hard act to follow.
All right.
I'm glad that's why you follow it.
I mean, I'm sorry, man. Don't get me wrong, but I can't say that.
No, it's all good.
No, I'm just
go ahead, Red. Tell them how sexy his voice is, and you'll sit on his face.
No, I forgot to tell y'all about TJ now. Wait a minute now. y'all need to quit. Anyway, okay, go ahead, TJ.
All right. The national release of Broken Gems will be the 20th of this month.
I'm going to get
and,
you, anyway, go ahead.
Well, we have Barnes & Noble. Again, they're going to carry it. Amazon, again, my website, authortjhaines.com. Go to my publisher's website, theinc.com.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just looking forward to, you know, doing some spot dates. While I'm trying to balance, you know, parenting and
with school and everything. Well, yeah, so I was going to ask that because I know you're a teacher and everything, and school is getting ready to start. So how's that going to work with your, you know, you doing some book signings and stuff like that? Is that will you be able to? I'm sure if
the way that I have it planned out thus far is,
right.
you know, we do have certain days, you know, that we get off for vacation. So I'm trying to plan my trip around my vacation. Like I should be in Houston toward the end of October.
Okay.
Do some promotion there, and if you
too bad y'all can't come to too bad y'all can't come to that conference that Tanisha is doing. You know, it's gonna be at St. Louis this year. It's Fall of the Books Literary Conference. It's gonna be September 16th to the 18th. It's gonna be at St. Louis this time, and we're gonna have a lot of folks there. You know, if you guys got time, man, and money, because you know this budget is fucked up now, but you got some money. And you want to come and spend that weekend, it'd be good to have you guys there. So, you know, just think about that. It's not my event, but we're going to all get there. And I tell everybody that comes on that they need another spot to go, somewhere to go.
Most importantly, the hotel is right next to the airport. So,
So if you come in for a day and then, you know, that's fun too. And I think Monique Minza and a whole bunch of people, the featured authors, are going to be there. So it's going to be pretty nice. I'm trying to get out more because I want to get out more myself. And I plan to do that because I want to start getting to these big conferences and stuff like Trice was talking about so people can see who I am because I know a lot of people have heard of Red Snapper more than just a fish. But, you know, and a lot of people know about my radio show. So I just kind of want to get out so they can see it, put a face with the name. And, you know, I don't know if they've been reading my books because my books or whatever, but, you know, I know they're risque and all that, but that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Well, the last thing I'll just say, you know, is that people can find me on Facebook, too, just author TJ Haines. So,
yeah, that's right. I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to cut you off, brother. You know, I'm sorry about that. Can't do that to you. You know, this is one of my partners. You know, we, like I said, with Fee Inc. and all that stuff, so.
Label.
Okay,
man.
DV.
Okay.
DV, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Go ahead, bro. Go ahead. Yeah.
Hey, this is D period V period Hent, H-E-N-T. One half of the duo that is Word Sexy Radio. Currently, I have two books that have been published. My first one is called If You Don't Tell. My second one is called Valentine. Currently, wherever books I find, you know, are sold, I can be found on Kindle, Amazon, BNN.com, wherever you go, you can find me. Like, you know, Red knows that I will be at the Fall in the Books literary conference with him. You know, we're going to be cutting up. That's how we do it. But, you know, if we're going to do it on the radio show, might as well go ahead and finish it off in real life, right? So, you know, that's
right.
My philosophy.
You know, and the truth of the matter is, you know, I love when the guests come on, we can have a fluid show, you know, when people aren't afraid to speak their mind and or act inhibited. So, you know, I really, this is the part of my day, my part of my Mondays, because I hate Mondays. They're the bane of my existence. But I love coming to this show and being able to speak with authors all over the country about things that they're currently doing, some of this, and, you know, some of the philosophies that they have, and even how to, you know, promote books, because there's a lot of people who are listening who need to hear these things. So, you know, I appreciate both Trice and TJ. You know, I know TL personally. You know, we go way back to like last year. So, you know, I'll be, you know, hitting her up. You know, maybe get a free book or something.
Like,
you know,
so, right. Anyway,
but and I appreciate Red for, you know, giving me this opportunity to really speak out, because, you know, you don't find a lot of places where you can talk about anything and everything openly. You know, there are few and far places, because when you have an opinion, there's always somebody to tell you that you're stupid or you're the devil for having that opinion. So, you know,
right.
I really appreciate this avenue, Red. I really do.
And I thank you for that. And I'm Red Snapper. For those of you who don't know, I have 7 novels out there, and they've all been independently published. The last one I did with, it's called Seductive Company. I did with an up-and-coming author who used to be in the porn industry. Her name is Sexy India. We did a book together, basically, it was published through my own publishing company, Midwest Publishing Group, under Word Sexy Publishing. And I'm out here trying to do this thing, and I'm loving it. I love writing. I got a couple of books that's going to be coming out. One is coming out at the end of the year called Acts of Congress. And I also have another one that's coming through the Fee Inc. system. It's a paranormal sexual thriller called The Peculiar Ones. So we're going to be getting these out there, and I'm going to keep writing, whether I ever get with a mainstream company or not. Doesn't matter. I'm going to keep writing and keep doing what I'm doing, and get out there and get known, and people know me as who I am, and because I love to do it, and that's what I do. And, of course, I love this radio show, because I can really reach out and talk to others that are in the same game with me. Not necessarily the same genre, but, you know, it's not about that. I write anything, so who's to say I'm going to be writing erotica forever? Like I said, I get into paranormal, and whatever I want to write, I'm going to do. So I just enjoy having people come on the show, and I get to learn and love all of you, and that's what we do. So that's Word Sexy Radio. And if y'all got any shout-outs or anything you want to say, right now is a good time to do it. Got about 12 minutes left, and you guys go ahead. Trice. Of y'all get a chance to do it. Okay, so go ahead and do your shout-out, Trice, if you have any.
Oh, well, first shout-out goes to you, Red Snapper, and DV. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate the opportunity to just connect with you in this free and open airspace and to reach the readers, because this is a great opportunity. Anytime that an author can connect with readers, that's a wonderful thing. So thank you for providing this vehicle, and thank you, TJ, for being on the show too. And I just want
to
thank all the readers who have.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Nothing. Go ahead. I'm just listening to you. I'm over here drooling. Anyway,
and
go
ahead. I want to thank all of the readers who have supported me as well, and the readers who tuned in tonight to support TJ and myself on the show. Thank you so very much. And please support us. Go to our website, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. And again, my website is TriceHickman.com, and you can follow me on Twitter or Facebook at TriceHickman.com as well, in front of those two social networks. And join my mailing list if you go to my website, and I do answer my emails. So.
Okay, well, I'm going to be sending you one here in a minute about that book, so I'm going to
send
you my address.
Address. I'm going to put it in the mail to you.
Okay, I'll get it to you.
Okay.
TJ.
Oh, well, I'd just like to thank, you know, the rest of the panel for giving me 2 hours of laughs and fun. Fred, you know, you're crazy. You're my boy.
Hell yeah.
And I'd just like to especially thank the people who have already pre-ordered Broken Gems. Just from talking with TL, you know, right now I'm sitting at, like, a record with the company right now. So I'm doing well. And I like to thank TL because she saw something in my novel, and, you know,
she offered me a wonderful contract, and, you know, she's just been with me from day one since I, you know, left a previous company, and, you know, it's been a blessing, and it's been a great experience, and I look forward to more books with the Ink, so.
Okay, well, you know, you can come back as soon as the book comes out and you can get a few sales going, we'll get back with you, and, you know, you can call in anytime, and Trice as well. You don't have to be a guest. You can just call in anytime if you want to just say something, and we'll definitely pull you in and let you talk. It's not a problem. We don't have that problem on We're Sexy Radio, so you can do that.
Thank you.
That's what we do. So you guys, once you've been on here before, you're family, so that's it. All right. DV, you got any shout-outs, man?
Yeah, of course, you know, I want to shout out to my partner, Melody Roberts, who's put together, you know, two wonderful websites, and NIPbooks.com and the Naughty Ink website. She basically built those from the ground up on her own. Also, she's coming out with an anthology featuring, I think, 8 or 9 other, you know, authors called it Untapped, and it's a, you know, a series of erotic. So, you know, I want to appreciate her, you know, for really basically pushing me past the limits that I wanted to go. So, you know, it's a wonderful partner I have. And, you know, like want all the people, like, you know, Trace and TJ said, you know, you always want to give a shout-out to the people who supported you through thick and thin. You know, sometimes, you know, you hear the good things about your story, sometimes you hear the bad, but you need those kick in the butts to help you become a better writer. So, you know, there's been a lot of drama going on the last couple of weeks with, you know, reviewers versus authors. And the truth of the matter is we need reviewers' input to make us grow. So, you know, I want to send a shout-out to the reviewers that hold their ground and also to the authors who work their butts off. So, you know, you see it.
All right. Well, I'm going to take this last 7 minutes. Well, not the whole 7 minutes, but I'm just going to say I thank everybody who comes and listens to Word Sexy Radio. And for those of you who do buy my books and read them and do reviews and stuff, you know, I appreciate it. And like I said, you know, without you, I wouldn't have any, it wouldn't be a Red Snapper anyway. So we definitely are glad to have you, and we're glad that you are interested in reading different things. We're glad that people like to read different types of genres, that they're not stuck on one. Because if they were stuck on one and we were all stuck to write that one thing, it wouldn't be fun, I wouldn't think. So I appreciate all of you for coming on the show. Thank you all for taking time out of your schedules to do that, and you know, we talk a lot of mess on here, but we do get serious too. So, you know, like I said, it's been a pleasure, and you know, I just want to continue to wish you all success in all that you have going on with your careers, and we will meet again somewhere, and if it's not on the show here, we're gonna see you somewhere, because like I said, you're not through with me, I'm not done, so Red is gonna be around somewhere. Just want y'all to know that. So. And, of course, if you want to get my books, they're available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Books A Million as well. You know, I guess, I don't know, Borders, they were available there, but right now Borders is getting sucked into another company, so I don't know how that's going to work. But, you know, if you like writing, just remember, you got to do it because you like it and not because you're trying to get rich, even though you do want to get paid. I'm not saying you don't get paid, but what I'm saying is you got to have a love for it if you want to make it in it. So that's the thing that I'm saying. So with that, I thank you all, and I'm going to go ahead and play this Michael Jackson song that I like that was on the Invincible album called Break of Dawn. It's a two-step song because we do that in Kansas City. We do some two-stepping. So for those who know what I'm talking about, that's what we do. And we thank you all for coming on the show.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a good one.
Okay.
money, but it's worth it.
Yeah.